Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
People, look alive. It's showtime.
Now live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, it's Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
So shut up and listen.
Doors open in 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, I mean, I've been comfortable since I got here. It was relatively, easy to learn just by concept, and, it was difficult just some of the things matching up from last year's terminology in that sense. But other than that, it was relatively easy to learn, and, it's not an issue to be comfortable in it.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. Good morning. That was Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Chuck, I know you're not a fantasy football player, and those of you that are, 8:35 this morning, Kevin Payne will give you some fantasy help at 414-799-1250. You can begin to tweet those questions in at 105.7FM, The Fan, with the hashtag AskKevin. But around maybe rounds 8 or 9 in the draft, somebody would think, and I do a lot of drafts with just people in Wisconsin, so somebody thinks, I'm gonna get Marquez Valdes-Scantling here. And so they draft him. And then another guy says, oh yeah, Geronimo Allison. And so he gets drafted. After 2 weeks, I open up my email to give me the fantasy football transactions. Marquez Valdes-Scantling has been cut by everyone that's drafted him in my leagues, and so is Geronimo Allison, because statistically, these guys are not performing next to Davante Adams at this point. And at some point, you are going to need one of those guys to step up and be, I know we talked about this a lot during the Bucs season, a true number two.
Well, because you're going to get a lot of one-on-one coverage, too. Because Devontae, as we've seen in film,
triple teamed.
Yeah. He's going to draw some double, triple teams. So you're going to have in the slot there some one-on-one coverage. So that opens the door for a guy like Valdes-Scantling and Geronimo Allison. Now, Scantling is second on the team in receiving. Next to Devontae, he's got 11 catches. Valdes-Scantling's got 7. Geronimo Allison's got 4 catches. Okay. But, the yards per catch for any of these guys aren't terrific. 12 yards a catch, 10 yards a catch. 6 yards catch for Geronimo Allison. Right now, it's a toss-up on who could be the number two guy on this team. Valdes-Scantling is more of the deep threat, I want to say. But Geronimo Allison's in his fourth year. We got to find out, is this guy going to be just another guy, or can he be better? I don't expect him to be Davante Adams, but can he at least be a good complementary fit next to Davante?
Was it 2 years ago, his rookie year, where Cobb was out and Allison went like 4 for 40
mm-hmm.
in a November game or something? It was later in the season. And that was the topic. Let's get Cobb out of here because you've got his replacement in Geronimo Allison. Who's going to step up and be that number two? 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7FM, The Fan. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. Yeah, even Davante Adams from a fantasy standpoint. I mean, I took him in the first round in the league. 11 catches, 142 yards, no touchdowns. That's not good. So maybe it's just a trend of the offense is going away from needing a true number two. And they did use the tight ends more. And Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams each have 5 catches between them. But you would like, I mean, with how much they invested into the wide receiver position the draft 2 years ago. Yes, St. Brown's on the IR, but you've still got Jake Kumerow, who hasn't done much. Trevor Davis has a catch, although he's a Raider now. You do want one of those guys to step up and give you more production next to Davante Adams, and that's what Matt LaFleur was asked about yesterday.
Yeah, no, it kind of just depends on where the holes are in the defense, but I think those guys, it's not like we've had a ton of drop balls or anything like that. I think those guys are doing a good job. They just haven't had the number of opportunities that Devontae's had.
Yeah, Devontae is the one who's catching all the balls. With 11 catches and, for 12 yards a catch, even that's got to be expanded out a little bit more. But there hasn't really been any deep touchdowns. Not touchdowns, but yeah, touchdowns too, but deep pass plays. Valdes-Scantling had the one against the Bears. But there hasn't been any deep plays that have gone for the distance and gone for big yardage. So, and again, We're only the second week, but if you look at the receiving yardage, and nothing's really impressive so far. They've got a couple of, Geronimo Allison's got a touchdown. Jimmy Graham had that touchdown against the Bears. Williams on that swing pass has got a touchdown, but three touchdown passes through two games.
Yeah, we're only talking about 412 yards here for Aaron Rodgers, too. I mean, Patrick Mahomes had that in, like, the second quarter the other day against the Raiders. So they're still throwing the ball as much as they normally do. It's just the yards per attempt are not as high as it used to be. Aaron Rodgers was asked about, hey, how do you get these guys going next to Devontae, whether it's MVS or Geronimo?
Well, it's about calling plays for those guys. You know, I think the key, especially after week one, was let's find more ways we can get Devontae involved early. You know, went to him on the first play of the game for a big one that got us going. Had some more opportunities. You know, had a PI down the field on a, you know, on a play that was really designed for him. Had a couple shots for Marquez in the game plan that we'd end up hitting or checked out of. And obviously, you know, we had a main play for Gmo that, you know, we hit him on a touchdown. But, you know, I think the key is balance. And you look at the way that game kind of played out as opposed to years past. We saw a lot more too high from Minnesota than we'd seen over the years. So we had to run the ball, and getting Jones going was important, and we did that. We got to obviously get the ball to our playmakers as much as we can, but it's not going to be everybody's week every single week, and I think they understand that. But, you know, anytime we can get the ball to Tay and Jimmy early, that's important, and obviously get some shots to Quez down the field.
Bart, they drafted three wide receivers 2 years ago, three wide receivers, hoping to hit on at least two or three. Moore, they cut. The highest of the four. They cut him. Jamon Moore, they cut
him. Gee, I forgot about Jamon Moore.
Yes, they cut him. They cut him. Okay. So they're hoping the next two are going to work out.
He was the highest one drafted.
I just said that. Yeah. The fourth round. Yeah. So, okay. Then he didn't work out. St. Brown, on injured reserve. He's not helping them out at all. Okay. So we got one receiver down, too. And all this Scantling, they're hoping makes that leap from year one to year two. So far, seven catches, but only again, week two. He had the nice, again, terrific 47-yard catch. But since then, I mean, everything else has been dink and dunk to him.
You know, I really thought that there would be a role in this offense for Trevor Davis. Because he's, what do we call him, a burner? He's the quickest dude?
Yeah, he's the fastest guy.
And then in the preseason, it was like, wow, this guy, I mean, he's clearly better than the third stringers. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much that said. He had a great catch against the Bears. It was a huge catch against the Bears. And then, you know, he's fast. So I thought that there would be a role for him on this team, and Matt LaFleur has used guys like that in that kind of offense, and so have the Shanahans and the McVays. I was still surprised to see him get traded yesterday. And the Packers ended up getting a six-round pick from Oakland for him. They signed Tremont Smith. So now we've got another Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's going to do press conferences with Preston and Zadarius.
But he's going to do it with the offensive side of the ball, though.
Yeah.
You know, there's no other Smiths on that side.
Okay, so he'll be alone?
He'll be alone, yeah.
So he's not a Smith brother?
No, he's in a six-man tag, I guess, you know, depending on if he ever gets activated for a game.
Oh, no, I think they got big plans for him.
We'll see, yeah.
They could have big plans for him. Darius Shepard's working his way back. So, obviously, if you trade your punt and kick returner, you've got to have plans for this new guy you got.
Well, Smith was one of the leaders in returns last year, wasn't he? With Kansas City?
Yeah, he was good, and they used him as a running back.
Yeah, I don't think they want to use him as a running back in Green Bay, though.
No.
I think they probably – I don't think that's the case. But, I mean, he was like – had about a 27-yard game and kick return average, so that's pretty good.
26.8 yards per return. He did have a 97-yard return on 33 kicks last year for the Chiefs.
Now, the guy who – it's talked about, I feel like, every August. And I just feel like, though, when the season comes, we don't hear from him ever again, is Kumerow. You know, the hope from Whitewater. Kumerow, one catch for 12 yards. Any possibility that guy slides into the number two role? Because we know how much Rodgers loves him, but Kumerow hasn't seen much action so far.
Don't you think if the Jake Kumerow thing would have happened, it would have happened by now?
Well, do you think that he just uses him as motivation for the other guy? Hey, this guy, if you other guys don't want to step it up, this white kid from Whitewater is going to, we're going to throw the ball to him.
Maybe. I mean, he's been talking a lot about Mercedes Lewis.
Yeah.
Does he just use him as motivation for
Tanyan
and Jimmy Graham?
Yeah.
So I want Rodgers to talk about me.
So he talks about the overachievers.
You know what? Maybe.
Lucky to be on this team.
Maybe.
Might be.
Because he only got like six snaps.
But I mean, the preseason, who was Rodgers talking about? It was always about Kumerow.
Kumerow.
He's always in the right spots. He's making plays. He's got quick hands. Everything he is, you know. Hey, how'd practice go today? Well, Kumerow caught everything I threw to him today. Well, the regular season starts and Kumerow doesn't even get on the field.
You know who I am pumped about? The Packers picked up Keon Hatcher from the Raiders depth chart or their practice squad. He's a wide receiver. I think he had 3 touchdowns in their final preseason game. He was featured on Hard Knocks, but he used to be a Packer practice squad guy. Then he went to the Raiders. Now the Packers claimed him. So it wasn't part of the trade or anything. But yes, I am going to go as deep as talking about the Packers practice squad. I don't even care.
Did he used to play at the Brewers?
No. That was Keon Broxton.
Oh, it's Keon. Different Keon. Okay.
Yeah, who's been on like 7 teams since then.
Because he can't hit.
Yeah.
So back to the question. Who's going to be the number 2 guy? Still wide open, but that spot is it's available for somebody to step up here in the next couple of weeks. I think the guy who's eventually going to win it, though, is going to be Valdez Scantling. I think he's he's the deep threat. He's good. He's going to be in the slot, getting single coverage. He's going to have opportunities. With Devontae Adams getting all the attention there in the secondary, he's going to get attention from one guy. Well, they're not going to put double teams on Valdez Scantling. So he's going to he can beat his guy one-on-one. He's going to get passes thrown to him.
Would we even be talking about guys like Geronimo Allison or Jake Kumerow or Keon Hatcher or Tremont Smith if the Packers weren't good in the 1990s? Some very, very insightful stuff. Bill Michaels and Ron Wolf yesterday will bring you portions of that throughout the morning, including what would have happened if the Packers would have been bad in the 1990s. Does Ron Wolf view himself like some Packer fans do, as the savior of that franchise? That coming up next is Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Well, the Q Club of Wisconsin will have all the sporting events going on this weekend. Q Club of Wisconsin, the Waukesha's Great North Side. They got the huge entertainment room. They got the pool tables, the dart boards. They got all that. Huge entertainment room. Yes, that checks that part of a sports bar. Huge entertainment room. And everything to play for there, including the indoor bocce ball league courts. The indoor bocce ball has been just terrific over there. They put the courts in last year, and you know it wasn't like they threw some grass down or some sod. They invested a lot of money, and people loved it. And leagues are forming soon. So if you're if you're into the outdoor game, you're gonna love the indoor game because it's the same thing. You know, you're gonna play it right on the turf that they have at the Q Club. Now the food at the Q Club is second to none. They got the Friday fish fry. You know, Friday fish fries, we love Friday fish fries here in Wisconsin. 4 different styles piled high with all the extras. And the fish fries are so good, they have it on Wednesdays as well. So Wednesday and Friday night. Last night they had it. Tomorrow night they're going to have it again. Happy hour, 3 until 7. So the extensive menu, the fish fries, the indoor gaming, and also they have TVs galore in that place. So they'll have the Wisconsin football game on. They'll have the NFL on. They'll have a lot of stuff going on. They'll have the baseball game going on this afternoon. If you want to stop in during happy hour this afternoon, they'll have the baseball game going on. And, of course, they have the volume going on, too. So the last thing we want to do is watch a game where they have no volume of the game. That sucks. You know, you want to hear what's going on. You heard the broadcasters got to say. They know that. They understand it at the Q Club. Q Club of Wisconsin, Waukesha's Great North Side, 2454 North Grandview Boulevard, half mile south of I-94. Take 94 to Highway T, go a little south, about a half mile, and there it is. You'll see the sign on the right-hand side, Q Club of Wisconsin. Get out there. You might see me out there sometime here this weekend. Going to get out there and have some lunch out there, watch some of the games. Q Club of Wisconsin on Waukesha's Great North Side.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. Good morning. Packers-Broncos this weekend. Ryan Wood, PackersNews.com, 820. The latest on, if it's not going to be Trevor Davis, who will be returning the kicks and punts and maybe a different guy for each. He'll join us in about an hour. After that, around 835, Kevin Payne, RotoWire.com, will give you the fantasy football help you need for week 3. You can start getting your questions in. Email us live at 1057fmthefan.com. Use the hashtag AskKevin on Twitter when tweeting to us at 1057fmthefan. Then the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to talk some Badgers, Michigan coming up this weekend, and Mike Clemens will join us at 9:30. So plenty to get to along the way. Speaking of interviews, Bill Michaels with Ron Wolf yesterday, who was in studio. Now, you may have seen the picture that's been circulating online. We still don't know who it was, but when Ron Wolf was in studio, he was photographed and behind him in our studio, there was a Bears mug.
We have to somehow scratch that out of the photo, because that could turn out to be a historic photo. Ron Wolf will never speak to us ever again.
Never.
He finds out that he took, because he even said, he has said in interviews in the past that when he left the Packers, he was offered jobs with the Vikings, the Lions, and the Bears. And he has said,
oh my.
Yeah, he never had any interest in working for, he had no interest in working for any one of those teams. You know, Ron Wolf, before he became the general manager in 1991, he turned down the job in 1987. He was offered the job in 1987. He came to Green Bay. In the 80s, the Packers were run a little differently. They had the president of the Packers was a guy by the name of Judge Robert Perrins, and he knew nothing about football. He knew nothing about football. So Ron Wolf sat in front of this guy who had no personality. Ron asked him some simple questions. The guy was giving him one-word answers. Ron would ask him, do I have a company car? No. Can I do this? No. So Ron Wolf, at the end of the interview with the judge in 1987, stands up, leaves. Bob Harlan, who would later become president, was the vice president of the organization. Bob, who's got a load of personality, a great guy, goes up to Ron. Ron, how about before we leave town here, I take you back, how about we stop to the airport? Or we stop and get some lunch? And Ron says, nah, just take me to the airport. And he tells Harlan, I'm just not interested in this job. Yeah, I don't want to work here. So that was 1987. And so Harlan realized something's got to change in this organization. You know, it was too much living in the 60s, their whole formula. And then when Harlan became president 2 years later, he said, I got to call Ron Wolf back and get him as my president. And not only that, or my general manager, not only that, he's going to have full control of the Packers, because Perrins refused to give Ron Wolf full control of the organization in 87. But then when Harlan took over for Perrins, he said, yep, here's everything you can do. You can do whatever you want with the organization. We need help. You fix it for us.
That obviously worked, as Brett Favre became a Packer. Reggie White became a Packer. They went to two Super Bowls in the 1990s, including winning the Super Bowl in 1996. Ron Wolf yesterday on the Bill Michaels Show. Full interview at radio.com.
I want to go back to something you said about Lambeau Field, calling it a cathedral. Do you realize, because when you go back now, when you're coming up 172, the biggest building in Green Bay by far that sticks out is Lambeau Field, that giant G, you can't miss it. Do you realize that had it not been for you, that cathedral may be vacant right now? Do you grasp the magnitude of what you have?
Bill, that's very nice. I don't grasp that. I honestly think, you know, I think, and I might get the dates wrong here, but I wasn't born then. Maybe somebody in the era has, but 1927, they built a stadium in New York called Yankee Stadium, and it was a house that Ruth built.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is a house that Brett Favre built up there in Green Bay right now.
Yeah, but it was the addition paid for by Ron Wolf.
Amen. I'll take that. I'll take that. Don't worry. I will take that. But it was a combination of a lot of work. We had, my short 9 years there, seven guys that worked for me became general managers in the National Football League. So Ron Wolf had an awful lot of help. Plus, Mike Holmgren's got to be in consideration, I think, for a Hall of Fame head coach at some point for what he accomplished. I had a lot of help.
Yeah, no doubt.
What if the Packers did suck in the 90s? What if Ron Wolf didn't make that impression on Bob Harlan and the judge, whatever his name was?
Judge Perrins.
Yeah. Judge Robert Parrish. Is that what you said?
Not Parrish. That's the chief.
Oh, okay.
For the Boston Celtics.
I mean, because the Packers, you know, when I, let's see, how old am I? 35. So my first, I think my first memory of the Packers was maybe a Monday night game against the Redskins or something in like the late 80s.
Yeah.
I remember the Lindy Infante year.
They were so bad in the late 80s.
I remember the year they went 10-6 and didn't make the playoffs.
1989.
And then it was really like Brett Favre. When Brett Favre came over in 92, yep. I would have been, sorry for anybody that's older than me, but I would have been 8 years old.
I remember getting the paper that morning, because this is how you found all your news. There were no sports pages back then. Nobody wanted to try sports on the radio here in town. So you got the sports page in the morning, and I saw the lower right-hand corner, Packers trade first-round pick for Atlanta third-string quarterback. And I'm like, what? So we were at the bars. We were down at Stenny's that night. It was a Friday night. We're at Stenny's, me and my friends. And my friend, Brent, his name is, was all night, couldn't, he says, who is this guy? You know, Rod Wolf, we didn't know anything about him, trading a first-round pick for a third-string quarterback at Atlanta. I mean, come on, what is he thinking? This guy's gonna further ruin the franchise. And that was the topic of conversation all night. My buddy, the more beer he drank, the more he got pissed that Rod Wolf traded a first-round pick for an unknown quarterback. You know? So to this day, I still tease him about it.
Evan Heffelfinger's in for Horvat today. I think he's the youngest guy to ever work in radio. How old were you when Brett Favre was traded to the Packers in 1992?
In 1992, I was -4 years old.
Okay, all right. All right, that makes me feel even older, but that's okay.
What was your first memory of the Packers? Do you even remember?
I remember probably 3 or 4 years old trying to figure out what football was with all the numbers and stuff on the screen. I was born like 3-4 months before they won the Super Bowl in 96 or 97. So
jeez. Okay. Like,
I have a lot of pictures of me in a Packers onesie as they're winning the Super Bowl, but that's
all right.
That's about it.
Now that makes me feel old.
Yeah, it does. It does. So, you know, the first choice that Ron Wolf wanted for head coach was Bill Parcells. But Bill had just come off having a heart attack, and he was going through some medical issues. And Parcells told Wolf, I can't take that job. And that was big news. You were going to get Bill Parcells to come to Green Bay, and it looked like Parcells was going to be the next coach. But Parcells, you know, weird how this works, him having health problems was the best thing that happened to the Packer organization, because Rod Wolf ended up hiring Mike Holmgren, who turned out to be just a godsend.
Ron Wolf tells that story on the Bill Michaels show yesterday. Again, full interview at radio.com. And then also, what led to the departure of Mike Holmgren?
Was Mike Holmgren, was he the only choice for you, or was there others? Because everybody talks about Bill Parcells, I know that.
Yeah, but... well, I mean, Bill and I were very close, and I did offer Bill an opportunity, but he had to have open heart surgery. So that's probably the best thing that happened to keep our friendship going, because that would have never... That would have never worked. It was like oil and water between us. And but we were blessed to get a coach the caliber of Mike Holmgren, yeah. No question.
As Mike started feeling it and wanted your job, did that begin to deteriorate, or was that relationship still really good?
I think it was probably pretty good. I can't blame him for wanting a job. He saw his contemporaries, the really good people, get job opportunities like that. Mm-hmm. And I can understand why he would want to do that. And we put it in his contract that he would have the opportunity to go should that present itself. And certainly it did. And, you know, he was able to put a team in another team in the Super Bowl in Seattle.
Did you feel pressured by him because he wanted that job? He coveted that job, and as if he wanted to say, hey, why don't you leave and let me take it?
I don't know if I felt pressured, but I tried to sit there and think to myself, you know, at some juncture, you know, if I'm the executive committee, which way am I going to go here? And then I put that behind me.
Yeah.
There isn't anything I could do. I couldn't control it. You are what you are. And you know, away he went. Now, I will say this. We got a second-round draft choice for Mike Holmgren. Mm-hmm. Everybody said, oh, you didn't get enough. Well, the second-round draft choice turned out to be Fred Vincent, the defensive back from Vanderbilt, one of the great names, one of my great picks of all time, is a member of the Packers. But I was able to take Fred Vincent, trade him to Seattle for the all-time leading rusher in the history of Green Bay Packers, mm-hmm. Amon Green.
Right.
So it kind of worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, when Mike Holmgren left, I remember he basically had 1 foot out the door, it seemed, for that entire last season.
Yeah, I think that was the knock on him. And he had a confrontation with a fan, I remember, at Lambeau Field. Holmgren did. And Holmgren was walking out of the tunnel at Lambeau after a loss and walking towards the tunnel at Lambeau. And a fan screamed down to him, what you just said. You know, oh, you got your mind gone. I'm leaving here. You're going to Seattle. And Holmgren barked right back at him, stopped at his tracks and barked right back at him. I remember that very well. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, he left. You know, they got the street named after him, and he left and he went. The next year he was coaching in Seattle, and they played Green Bay on a Monday night football game, and he came into Lambeau Field in 99 and beat the Packers.
Just like how Brett Favre came back and beat the Packers as a member of the Minnesota Vikings. And he was a member of the Atlanta Falcons when Ron Wolf had his eye on Brett Favre. That story very compelling because Ron Wolf is not Ron Wolf if Brett Favre isn't Brett Favre and if he didn't somehow trick Reggie White to coming here. He'll have that story coming up from the Bill Michaels Show. Great interview there. The full interview at radio.com. We've got more for you coming up next. Also, we'll talk more about where the Brewers stand after a crazy night in the NL Central. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Green Bay Packers News Flash. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers have traded wide receiver and kick returner Trevor Davis to the Oakland Raiders in exchange for a sixth-round pick. The 26-year-old Davis was entering his fourth season in Green Bay and had a good game against Oakland in the preseason with five catches for 78 yards and a touchdown. He told me why he thought he was poised to have his best season yet in Green Bay.
Just versatility. I've played every position in this offense. And I know every position in this offense right now. And being able to do shifty routes, intermediate routes, as well as be able to use my speed to do deep routes. And also can be a guy that does reverses and then tackle guys on special teams as well. You know, it's having versatility and be able to put me in the offense wherever need be.
Now, before the trade, the Packers claimed Tremont Smith off waivers, a defensive back, kick returner, and gunner for the Chiefs. They needed to make roster space for a receiver. So is Smith happy he landed with Green Bay?
Yeah, it's a good feeling, you know, just to come to a great organization like this with so much history behind it. I mean, Kansas City's in my past now, so now it's just all about the Green Bay Packers.
And the Packers took the day off from practice, 16 players on the injury list, and games coming up Sunday against the Broncos. Then next Thursday night, they host the Eagles. Packers wide receiver Davante Adams.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I appreciate definitely the coaching staff looking out for us. You know, it's a lot of running that we had in this past game. A lot coming up on Sunday, and then we got to turn around and do it again Thursday.
Best Packers coverage on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler from the Bryan Stratton College Athletic Studios. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. Mike Clemens will join us 9:30 this morning. Get the latest on Packers Broncos. Again, Trevor Davis, now an Oakland Raider. More from Ron Wolf momentarily, who Ron Wolf was in studio yesterday with the Bill Michaels Show. Really good stuff, compelling stuff. Always nice to hear from Ron about how he views the 90s, especially all these years later, and what the Packers have done since then. At one point in the interview, saying he was surprised that Ted Thompson did not go get more free agents after that Super Bowl year acquiring Charles Woodson. So certainly did open up with some of that kind of stuff. Again, full interview from the Bill Michaels Show, radio.com. There was a picture that was taken when Ron Wolf was in studio. This studio, our studio, where we talk about the Packers, Badgers, Bucks, Brewers, Admirals. Are the Milwaukee Iron still a thing?
The Milkmen are.
The Milkmen, yeah.
Heard they changed managers.
Yeah. They fired their manager. 414-799-1250. They get fired too soon.
Should they give him another year?
414-799-1250. Who was the Milkmen manager? I will give you some sort of prize.
Where do the Milkmen play?
Yeah.
The Rock.
Good job. Yes. You win the prize. Contest over. But in this picture with Ron Wolf, there was a Chicago Bears mug behind him in our studio, and nobody that we work with has claimed this mug. It could have been somebody that had signed up for this contest. There's a contest from CableTV.com that is looking for somebody to switch allegiances and become a Chicago Bears fan. What they want you to do is become a Bears fan and tweet about it on social media, have an active presence. You have until October 4th to do it. You need to just include a little video in 200 words on why you would be a good Chicago Bears fan, because CableTV.com is trying to get people to switch to their service. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to use people for their ad campaign that will switch teams. So they want a Packer fan for a year to switch allegiances to the Chicago Bears. They're offering you $2,000 to do that. Would you give up on the Packers for a season to root for the Bears if you got $2,000.
But is your heart okay? If you're being bought out here, basically here, could you really be passionate about the Bears if someone's paying you money to do it?
You just have to give the appearance. They're going to give you a custom-made jersey and other swag from the team.
Mm-hmm.
In turn, you have to brag to all your social media followers that you've switched sides and posted updates throughout the season. So you can, you know, when the cameras are off, you can sit and root for the Packers. But online, at Chuck Freeman, you would have to be in your Freeman 95 jersey.
Okay.
You know, saying, oh, I love my Bears so much, go Bears.
Now, do you have to go to the games? Do you have to watch the games on TV? Do you
they would,
follow
I think
them?
They give you tickets for one game, yes.
Do you, I have to listen to Chicago Sports Radio?
I mean, if you want more details, it's at CableTV.com's website.
Do I have to be a Jeff Joniak fan?
Yes.
Okay. That's all that is a big ask. For $2,000, $10,000 maybe. No, $2,000, no, it's not worth it.
You once said on the show you'd give up your Bucks fandom for $50,000. Do you remember that?
Well, what was that? What were the details on that again?
You said that you would never sell your Packers fandom.
Okay.
You would never sell your Brewers fandom.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody offered you $50,000 and we like implanted a chip into your brain and you could never like the Bucks again, you said you'd do it.
That must have been when the Bucks were mediocre, and
it was
last
summer.
And I had a run at the Pottawatomie Casino. I kept busting out.
Yeah, well, it was last summer.
I may have to recoup some losses there.
So,
yeah, that you might have caught me at a bad point. $50,000, though. Yeah, I'd do it for the Bucks. $50,000, sure.
But that would be for the lifetime, not just for the season.
Yeah. Oh, that was a lifetime? Oh, no, I kind of changed my opinion. Now the Bucks decided they want to win, I wouldn't do it.
What about when Giannis is a Warrior in 2 years?
That's not happening. I don't know if Giannis is going to finish his career with the Milwaukee Bucks, but he's certainly not going to, I don't think he'll be leaving in a couple of years either.
Everyone knows that Giannis, that my brother, rather, works for the Warriors, right? I've told that story many times. If Giannis went to the Warriors, I'd be like, oh, drat.
Yeah. No, I'd be pissed.
Oh, nuts.
I would be pissed.
No, I would be mad too, but I don't think anyone would believe me that I was actually upset about that.
So if your brother goes on, because these guys go from job to job, okay, these media relations guys, some don't, some do. Now, if he went and worked for the, let's say, Houston Rockets, would you become a fan of the Rockets too?
I would have been a Rockets fan the last 5 years.
Okay.
Certainly.
All right, now would you
But now that he's been there... Now I don't just like the Warriors because my brother's been there. I actually like them now.
Okay, now he's an assistant there. Now if he got the head media relations job with the Sacramento Kings, could you become a Kings fan?
Oh, I'd be wearing crowns into work, man. I'd be wearing Vlade Divac jerseys.
Okay, all right.
I'd be wearing
Mitch Richmond.
Any other king I can name off the top of my head.
All right.
Peja.
Okay.
Chris Webber.
Yeah. Yeah. Vlade Divac is their vice president these days.
Yeah. I'd be all over the SAC Kings, baby.
Okay.
414-799-1250. You could tweet us at 1057 FM, The Fan. Jeff is in Milwaukee. What's up, Jeff?
Hi, Jeff.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. You?
Good. First off, no, I would never trade allegiance with the Bears. So, no, never. I don't care how much money it is. But anyway, I was just offering up a little retouching if you'd like to get rid of that Bears mug in that photo.
Yeah, the Bears mug that was sitting behind Ron Wolf when Ron Wolf was in studio.
You work for a painting company, maybe?
Yeah, what can you do?
No, I can retouch that out of there in Photoshop and send it back to you guys. No mug.
You can retouch the photo?
Retouch the photo.
Oh, the photo. Yep. I thought maybe the mug.
Oh. Can you also destroy the mug somehow?
I'd love to.
We can destroy the mug. You and I, Bart.
Okay, we'll do that.
I think you and I can handle that part. We're good at destroying things and breaking stuff.
Yeah, I need the hammer.
Yeah.
Just you can take the photo. You can just save the photo. We tweeted it at 1057FM, The Fan. You're on Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah, just go to our account. You can pull the photo, retouch it, and then tweet it back to us, and that would be a big help.
All right, we'll do.
That would be a big help. Jeff, thank you for your service.
All right, no problem.
Look at that. We need help. People step up and do it. It doesn't matter if we destroy this mug. We still got to find out who brought it in.
We got to get that because that's a nice picture with Mike Ballman, former Journal sports writer who wrote the book on Ron Wolf there.
Ron Wolf wrote a book. You should probably buy it. That's why we're
co-written with Mike Ballman. The book is sitting right here, in fact.
By the book. What's it called?
Rod Wolf and the Green Bay Packers.
Oh.
It's called. Yeah, very, very simple title. Rod Wolf and the Green Bay Packers. Mike Holmgren, Brett Favre, Reggie White, and the Packs Return to the Glories in the 90s. I want to read this book. Here's the problem with me reading books. I start reading the book, Bart, and then I get like distracted. I'll get like halfway through it, and then before you know it, I'm on to the next book.
How come all these book titles have like, there's no book title anymore. It's just called like Ron Wolf. Read the whole title again.
Rod Wolf and the Green Bay Packers.
And then you said more.
Then there's a subtitle. Mike Holmgren, Brett Favre, Reggie White, the Packers Return to Glory in the 90s.
We're talking to John U. Bacon at 9 o'clock. He wrote a book called Overtime. Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines at the crossroads of college football.
Yeah. Okay.
Just the name of the book, Overtime.
Yeah. I don't know. Ron Wolf, I guess we assume he's the general manager. People who read the book know that Ron Wolf is the GM of the Packers. So, I don't know. We could destroy that thermos or whatever the hell it's called at the golf outing. We could do it there.
Ooh, I like that idea.
We could do it at a public event like that.
I like that idea. I still want to know whose it is, and we'll get to the bottom.
Well, we could do this next Wednesday.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
We could buy some explosives between now and then.
Yeah, let's blow up the facilities at Western
Lights. We don't want to go that far.
Okay. Ron Wolf with the Bill Michaels Show yesterday, full interview, radio.com. Ron Wolf told the story about how he got not just Favre, but Reggie White. Because, yes, Ron Wolf was a key member of the Packers in the 90s. And because Brett Favre was Brett Favre, and because they were able to use free agency, which was really in its infancy in the NFL, to get Reggie White. I mean, Reggie White, I mean, he could have gone anywhere. And to come to Green Bay, as we all know, was like a shock that resonated throughout the league and is still goes down as the greatest free agent signing in the NFL history. Ron Wolf talked about how those two things came together.
My first game that I attended as general manager of the Packers happened to be in Atlanta, Fulton County Stadium. And I was sitting having a hot dog when a friend of mine came up who worked for Atlanta and told me if I wanted to see Brett Favre throw, I needed to go down now and watch him throw because when the team came out, they wouldn't let him participate in team drills. So I knew right away we had an opportunity to get a guy who, in my opinion, is a first ballot Hall of Famer. And from that point on, I worked towards that, and finally we got that done. Reggie White was an entirely different situation. We now have free agency. And not knowing exactly how to operate in those waters, I was captured by the fact that this was a national media thing. Here, I mean, he goes to Cleveland. His wife, Sarah, is giving him a mink coat. He goes to Atlanta, is giving keys to the city, and speaks to the assembly. I'm having trouble there. Help me, man.
Georgia.
Georgia. No, I know it's Georgia. Legislature. Thank you. Yes. The Georgia legislature. You know, so Georgia.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know Georgia. Yeah. Anyway, so here he comes to Green Bay, and it's snowing, and he's picked up not in a limousine, in a four-wheel SUV, and he's hungry, and he wants to go eat. So we take him to Red Lobster. Loves catfish, but the Red Lobster in Green Bay did not fillet their catfish, and Reggie wanted his catfish filleted, and the owner told him, Reggie, you sign with the Packers, and we'll have filleted catfish. That might have been what did it.
Filleted catfish. I don't think anybody's ever thought of that before. You know, don't give the wife a mink coat, but if you give Reggie White filleted catfish, he's coming to Green Bay.
Yeah. But we had a great great job. Guys did an excellent job of recruiting Reggie, and there's been two tremendous free agents in this whole period. I think right up to date, Reggie White and Deion Sanders, and we're very fortunate to get a player of that caliber.
You know, that's just a great story right there. Reggie, in the Sports Illustrated, in the week before, Reggie, he was on the cover because free agency was just brand new, and it showed Reggie in a bunch of different uniforms. It was like superimposed, a Niners jersey, an Eagles jersey, all these, as you come back to Philadelphia, in all these teams, Dallas, everybody, but the Green Bay Packers. And the Packers were the team he ended up signing with. And we all know the story with Reggie. Reggie said when he was asked, why did you go to Green Bay? You know, he mentioned Brett Favre, but he said, you know, he said the Lord told him that that was the place. He was a very godly man. And he said the Lord told him that Green Bay was the place to go. And Reggie signed there, and Reggie wanted to be with Brett Favre additionally. So that was two huge pieces you got to start to build this thing. You had actually a few more. You had Mike Holmgren. He put together a terrific staff. Okay, and it included Andy Reid and Steve Mariucci and John Gruden. Then he had the quarterback. He had the guy, one of the best defensive players of all time with Reggie White. So that was a pretty good building blocks for a Super Bowl team.
I still don't get why he came here.
Well, I just
Green
you.
Bay was Siberia, man.
I know.
People would threaten to trade people to Green Bay.
Yeah, but the Packers were showing a little bit that they were turning that around. They were showing.
It was still a pretty big like leap of faith.
Yeah.
For Reggie to come here.
Oh, absolutely. It sure was.
I mean, he could have gone to other teams and gone to the Super Bowl that year.
Without a doubt. He could have went to the Niners. The Niners were Super Bowl contenders. He could have went and played with San Francisco and Steve Young out there. But he chose, I mean, all the teams that bid for him, and he chose, and it was a five-year, I want to say 5 years, $19 million. I mean, I think that's the contract he signed. And it was unreal. I mean, we all thought it was a joke when he was going to visit Green Bay. It was like, why is he going to Green Bay? He's not going to sign with the Packers. And then the news, you know, I was working in Eau Claire at the time, and I found out that he was going to sign with the Packers. I couldn't believe it. And, you know, this is back before social media and all this. And sure enough, driving to Green Bay in a few days to cover a press conference that Reggie White was signing with the Packers. It was unbelievable news.
You know, in the interview with Ron Wolf, and again, you can hear the whole thing, BillMichaelSports.com, also the radio.com app, 1057FMTheFan.com, too. Fan on Demand presented by John Paul's Buick GMC, Highway 100 in Greenfield. If Reggie doesn't work out, if they don't get Favre, if the Ron Wolf thing doesn't work out, I mean, the Packers, we talk about, oh, the 70s and 80s, 70s and 80s. But what if the 90s suck, too? I mean, was there ever like a legitimate threat that the Packers would not be in Green Bay?
No, but you know, I've told you the story. When they played games in Milwaukee, they couldn't sell out. They couldn't sell out games. Now, if they had a game at Miller Park, you know, they'd sell that thing out in a second. But they, you know, there were times that home games could not be shown in Milwaukee because the games at County Stadium were not sold out. And you have to have a sold-out stadium. But I don't remember a time when they thought that the team was going to move. But there was not the interest in the Green Bay Packers in the 70s and 80s, that in 89, you know, you talked about the 10-6 year with Mikowski. You know, that started to bring the fans around a little bit. And then 90 and 91, they started losing again.
Well, they can't move because I'll never sell my stock.
Yeah.
And so if I don't sell my stock,
no.
I mean, how can they move?
But Bob Harlan also talks about that they had the atrium there. They had to redo Lambeau Field to keep it viable, to keep money coming into that thing. And that turned out to be a great move on Bob Harlan's part, but he had to get the financing from the five states.
I'll be that last holdout,
five
like that,
counties.
Like that house by IKEA that didn't sell.
Yeah.
You ever see that?
Yeah. Yes.
It's in the parking
yeah,
lot.
Yeah. It'll never sell.
No, they screwed up there.
It's like there's in Lemira, there's this house.
When all your neighbors sell, you should probably sell too.
It's like there's this house in Lemira that's right in back of the Piggly Wiggly. Who wants to live in back of the Piggly Wiggly in Lemira? I mean, who wants to live right next to a big grocery store like that? Nobody.
Why not? That actually sounds like a great fit.
Really? Right back with a dumpster?
Well, no, but
there's dumpsters back there and all that, and you know, wooden planks.
It is Lemira.
Yeah.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries.
But it's in the nice area of Lemira.
What? The Brewers! Still in the thick of things in the NL Central race, but that seems to be slipping a little bit. More on that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.